Across Tamworth and the northwest slopes and plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Pretty foggy out there this morning. Just be careful if you're on the roads. Get your fog lights on, whatever you've got to do. Just take it nice and easy, nice and slow, because the visibility is very, very low this morning. We're heading for a nice day after that, of course. Fog before 7, fine before 11. As the old sailors saying, winds from the south, 15 to 20k lightning off in the middle of the day, head over top at 19 degrees. So it's going to be a nice day. It doesn't look it at the moment. Going to be a beautiful day out there in the middle of the day. 3 to 17 for Friday. Minus 1 overnight Friday night, Tony. And heading for 18 and 0 to 19 on Sunday. So a couple of very, very chilled nights coming our way Friday and Saturday night. And frosty stars this morning. The grass will be all crispy and white. That'll be great. You got Pete for breakfast here on 1287 2TM. Let's have a look at the NRL now in conjunction with the aforementioned, Tony. What do you think about that cold weather overnight, Tony?
I think it might destroy my broccoli seedlings. Not happy.
No, it could do. Could do. Good for the pumpkins, though. Oh, if you got pumpkins,
I haven't.
You get a good frost on the pumpkins, that finishes them off. No worries at all. That's why they're so cheap at the moment. They're in season. Now, let's have a look at the NRL for this year, for this week. It's round 12. Kicks off tonight at Netstrata, whatever that is. Jubilee Stadium, of course, Cogra Jubilee Stadium down there in the south end of Sydney. Couple of big ins here for the, well, it's the St. George Dragons playing the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Latrell Mitchell and Liam Knight back in for the Rabbitohs. For the Corbin Sims is in for, in fact, two Sims brothers are in. Corbin and Tarek Sims are both in for the Dragons. They lose Trent Merrin, though, and their halfback, Adam Clune, which means Benny Hunt will be back to his original position of halfback. He's been plying his trade as a hooker, of course, recently. Cameron McInnes, who was their hooker when Ben Hunt was a halfback, has been playing in the back row. Now he's going back to hooker. So
utilities all round, hey?
Utilities all round. What do you think about this game?
I think that the Rabbitohs have got it over on this one. Mm-hmm. I think the Dragons have been performing well sometimes, but not consistently.
Correct.
And the Rabbitohs, whilst they might have had a couple of losses, they were playing some of the top, like, laddered teams recently. And I think that some of their losses were only just. So
yeah,
they're
going to
have this one.
I think Souths are what you'd call the second tier. This year, I reckon you've got your Roosters and your Melbourne and your probably the Raiders and the Panthers and Para. You've got your real top tier, and then you've got South just underneath them.
Souths are sitting there with the Knights.
Manly and that sort of a just, yeah, the Knights as well just sitting there. And then Saints are the next tier under that.
Yeah, they're just not in the 10.
So on form, you'd have to say South Sydney on that one. I think I'm agreeing with you. On Friday night, 6 o'clock at the Sydney Cricket Ground, would you believe?
What a random...
It is a bit random, isn't it? Especially for the West Tigers and the Warriors. I mean, the West Tigers, why would you not play it at Leichhardt? But there you go. We don't know. For the ins and outs on this one, Alex Twoll is back into the side for and Josh Reynolds and Robert Jennings all back in for the Tigers. A lot of ins for the Warriors. They've got a couple of players that they've borrowed from Parramatta. Daniel Alvaro and George Jennings, which is great. They've got a few, Patrick Herbert, who they also borrowed as well, is back in the side as well for them. Kenny Mamalo is out. Of course, Michael Cheekam, that awful, awful. Did you see that last week? He was convulsing.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Not good.
It's a tough game. Russell Packer and Matt Eisenhuth also out of the pack there for the Tigers, which somewhat weakens them, I reckon. But what do you think of this one? Tamworth Warriors.
I do support the Tamworth Warriors. However, I think the Tigers are going to be a little bit too strong for them. They play a really aggressive game.
They do.
And
they do.
I think that might just knock the Warriors off their edge a bit.
Sydney Cricket Ground can be an unusual ground to play at too. You can lose your bearings on the cricket ground.
Yeah, it's a little
odd. Because it's a square oval and a round, a square pitch on a round oval. And you often get people kicking the ball out on the full there because they lose their bearings. Yeah, look. the Warriors, they've got ticker. They don't win away from the Central Coast. That's the problem. They've won nearly every game at the Central Coast, and even the ones they've lost, they've just gone down to some of the top teams,
they
as
just
they did
don't
last
play,
week. But they're just not the same team away from the Central Coast.
They just don't play their top footy for the full 80 minutes either.
Yes, yes.
It's like you'll see a spark and you're like, yeah, go on, Tamworth Warriors. And then you're like, oh, what's happened?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Here's the pivotal game for the weekend, in my opinion, in the tipping. Friday night at 8 o'clock, the Broncos playing the Sharks.
I feel you have this like unfettered faith in the Broncos when they're just like, it's not showing up this season, Pete. It's not there.
I'm tipping the Broncos.
Alrighty. Well, I'm tipping the Sharks because...
This is the only reason you got in front of me in this whole thing was because I tipped the Broncos the other week and they got 50 put on them.
And you're going again.
I'm going again. Yep.
No, I think the Sharks want it more. The Broncos are like, yeah, what are they playing for? Like, not to get the wooden spoon, but...
Yeah, they were so good in the first half last week.
They've just lost. They know they're losing one of their top players next season.
Yeah.
Like,
that being said, he hasn't played at all this year either. He's been out injured the whole year. So it's not like they're losing someone who's they've been playing with week in, week out this year. I just like the look of them this week. There's nothing really to say. They've got Jake Turpin back in the side at hooker. I really rate him as a hooker. No, Isaac Luke's on the bench as well. Well, yeah, I don't actually rate him as a hooker. For the Sharks, Josh Dugan back in the side after last week. Britton Nakora, Billy Magoulis. Really, no one they don't inspire me. The Sharks, the big out for them, of course.
I mean, I don't
Chad
want
Townsend.
This
is
like for me. This is a game of like, who do I want to tip? I don't really care. But for everyone, we're going to go against each other here. I'm going Sharks.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Go the Bronx. It's in Brisbane, by the way. Roosters playing the Titans. We don't need to spend too much time on this one, I think.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Brett Morris is out. Ryan Hall is back in.
And some interesting news there too with the Roosters. They're signing All Blacks.
Sonny Bill Williams at 37, I think he's at 36, something like that. Last four games plus the semi-finals, $150,000. It was revealed this morning that they are paying him $150,000, and you know there's plenty more room for anyone else who wants to sign on for the Roosters as well. They've got about $4 million left on their salary cap.
The Daily Telegraph, I think it was, released the top paid players in the NRL, and there was one Roosters player.
Really? Out of the top
20?
Oh, you're kidding!
I was like,
was it Tedesco?
Yes, it was. But do you know the number one, they said? Dally Cherry Evans.
Yeah, well, he came back to Manly after that tug of war a few years ago.
Must have, of course, scored himself a good deal.
Yeah, that's right. Now, they've got to start to have a question mark about him as well, haven't they, with those Trbojevic brothers as well.
There were some interesting names in their top 20, actually, so you should check it out if you're interested.
I don't know whether they actually know or whether that's just a beat-up. Cowboys playing the Raiders. The Raiders have had some tough games recently. They've got an interesting in. Well, John Bateman's back for them, who's had been the subject of a tug-of-war, and I think he's decided to go back to England at the end of the year. But he was the Dally M second rower of the year last year. Hardly played a game this year. So he's back in, straight back into the starting lineup.
I think the Raiders are the team that they've got that fight. They really showed
they
it
do.
In their game against the Roosters.
They're missing their fullback, of course, who succumbed to an injury last week. They've replaced him with Jordan Rapana, moves from the wing to fullback. And Semi Velamai comes into the side there. A young fella by the name of Corey Harawira Naira is also playing for them, ex-Dogs player who decided he wants to go down there. They've put him straight into the... Well, not in the starting lineup, but he's on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be playing. He'll be getting some minutes there for the Cowboys. Not really much going on there.
Yeah.
I think the Canberra Raiders too good.
Yes, I agree. I'm going to tip the Raiders in that one.
Yep. Saturday, 7:30 at Lotto Land. Here's the other tough one for the weekend. Manly playing the resurgent Panthers.
Panthers
have been very, very good this year, haven't they? Now, before you give me your tip here, Appy Korosau is back in for the Panthers. Viliami Kikau is back in. And Zane Tedovano all back in for the Panthers. Dylan Walker back in for Manly.
Yeah,
I think
pretty
tough to beat Panthers.
The Panthers are on point. They're going to... They're going to whip them.
They seem to be just... But you got to add 10 points to Manly at Lotto Land, though. That's the first thing. They're very tough to beat down there at Fortress Brookvale, as they call it. They seem to grow another leg, though. They weren't supposed to win there the other week. Who did they beat there the other week? It might have been the Raiders. It might have been the Raiders when they weren't supposed to win.
There was a couple of wins that they got
They've got plenty of ticker, and particularly down at Brookvale Oval there, they are very, very hard to beat down there. And Penrith haven't actually been going that well, I don't think. They've been getting over the line. The halfback there, young Cleary, has been getting them over the line. That being said, Penrith to win.
Yeah, a lot of their bigger wins were against the bottom of the table. But I think that, you know, they're sitting at the top of the table right now, and Manly's eighth, which, saying that, Manly will have a fight to stay in that top eight.
Yeah.
However, I think I'm going to go with you, and the Panthers are just, like, I think they're just a little too strong as a team.
They seem to have the game in hand, whether they're behind by 8 or 10.
Yeah.
You watch them and you think, they'll still win this, and they still do recently. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Dogs playing the Eels. Dogs, a great win last week. Unfortunately for them, they come up against they're tipping them to make the grand final this year, and you wouldn't tip against them the way they're going. They are a team that is, what you just said about Penrith there, Parramatta, the other Western Sydney team, the other lockdown team. They'll all be living in the hot spots out there in Western Sydney.
Now that Queensland's shutting their borders.
Well, they allowed them in last time, and they're expecting to allow them in again. In Volandis we trust. So he will get it sorted, I am absolutely sure. This is 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. That'll be handy for me. I'll watch that one. the Eels to win that one in a hand canter. Interestingly, the Dogs have got Tim Lafoy back. Played for them a number of years ago, left and went to St George. He's all of a sudden turned back up this week, and he replaces Kerrod Holland, who's been sacked.
They're trying to stack up, I think, for next season, but... Yes, I agree with you this weekend. I'm going to go with the Eels.
Mm-hmm. And 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Now, you may have noticed these games used to be 4 and 6. They're now 2 and 4, which is much better, much more civilised on a Sunday afternoon. Last game of the round, Storm playing the Knights at Sunshine Coast Stadium.
Yeah. My poor Knights, they're just falling down. I think I'm going to go with Storm on this one.
I honestly think
Storm will make the final this year.
Yeah, well, Jesse Bromwich back in for the Storm. Unfortunately, the list of outs for the Knights reads very badly for the supporters. Andrew McCulloch, of course, who tore his hamstring. Connor Watson, who did his Achilles heel. They're both gone for the season. Sione Mitautia out for the week as well. I think he might have a concussion. I could stand corrected on that. But that is three big names out of the Knights side, and I think the Storm just too consistent, too good.
Yes.
The thing with the Storm, they don't make mistakes.
They don't.
They don't make silly
errors.
Very often. You don't see them dropping the ball because they tried to throw a great pass on their own 20-metre line, which you see with the Dogs every week, and you think if they were just a little bit more Storm-like and just ran the ball up for five.
Storm-like.
When you're in your own 20, you run it up for five and then you kick it down the other end. You don't try to play any fancy stuff, and you never see them do that. They will only attack when they're in the position to attack, and that's half of why they're so good, is because they just don't make those mistakes.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth Zone 1287 2TM.
Well, Russia. Finally, we've had some news because Russia's been a little bit quiet on the vaccine front. Guess what? They reckon they've leapfrogged everyone and they're going to be releasing a vaccine for the Rona on August the 10th. Russia intends to be the first in the world to approve a coronavirus vaccine in less than 2 weeks, despite concern about its safety, effectiveness, and over whether the country has cut essential corners. Well, I tell you what, if they're couple of months ahead of everyone else, they didn't do the phase 3 trials. The vaccine's been created by Moscow-based Gamaleya Institute. It'll be approved for public use, with frontline healthcare workers getting it first. That's a really dangerous thing if you haven't done your homework on this and you haven't really tested it to any great extent, to be giving it to all your frontline healthcare workers first up. I don't know. It's a Sputnik moment, said Kirill Dmitriev, head of Russia's Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is financing Russian vaccine research, referring to the successful, of course, 1957 launch of the Sputnik satellite by the Soviet Union. Americans were surprised when they heard Sputnik's beeping. It's the same with this vaccine. Russia will have got there first. I don't like how they've turned it into a little, well, it's an arms race type thing, isn't it? It's just not the right thing to do when you're going to be injecting this into people, and hopefully it's not going to have any other effects on them. Russia's released no scientific data on its vaccine testing, and the press has been unable to verify its claimed safety or effectiveness. Critics say the country's push for a vaccine comes amid political pressure from the Kremlin, which is keen to portray Russia as a global scientific force. This was the same concern I had with the US one, basically, that Trump might get it out there a bit too early for his political gain, which he really needs at the moment with the election looming there in November. While some global vaccines are in the third phase of trials, the Russian vaccine is yet to complete its second phase. Developers plan to complete that by August 3. So they're going to do that in about 4 days and then conduct the third phase of testing in parallel with the vaccination of medical workers. Russian scientists say the vaccine has been quick to develop because it is a modified version of one already created to fight other diseases. That's the approach being taken in many other countries and by many other companies, notably Moderna, which is the US one, which just started its phase 3 testing on Monday. That's built its coronavirus vaccine on the backbone of a vaccine that's been developing for a related virus, MERS. So there you go. So the Russians reckon they've got it sorted, and in just 11 short days, they will have access to it. It's a little bit scary for me, especially if they're going to give it to the frontline health workers. You may as well go to Vegas and put it all on 7.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
Chinese tech giant Huawei and the state-owned network provider China Mobile, what do you reckon they've been doing while all of this shutdown's been on? They've been building a 5G network on Mount Everest. I can't believe this. While most of China was quarantined and Mount Everest was closed to climbers due to COVID-19, a herd of 50 yaks made their way up the snowy north slopes of the world's highest mountain. On their backs were loads of equipment, metal beams, cables, solar panels strapped down with cord that would be used to build the 5G antennas on Mount Everest. Chinese tech giant Huawei and the state-owned network provider China Mobile teamed up for this project to bring the latest in wireless data to Everest, which had previously very little mobile coverage, as you can expect, above the base camp. Now, after this project, the data speeds in the death zone on Everest, where the altitude is too high and the air is too thin to support life. You can only breathe up there with the oxygen tank. You get faster data speeds up there than you do down Peel Street. Or even down George Street, for that matter. I don't know what's going on with the world. In a press release, Huawei stated that the new super-fast data speeds on Everest will be used for smart tourism. Do you want to go that high where you can't even breathe? So you can get that. Well, some people are that desperate, I guess. With high-definition video streaming and virtual reality experiences. Virtual reality? It doesn't get any more real than climbing Mount Everest, does it? Unless you're doing it on the back of a Sherpa, which probably everybody does. Huawei said the 5G network would also serve as a useful tool for mountaineers and scientists on the mountain. You could film your own death, I suppose. There will be better communication during rescues if climbers get injured or caught in bad weather, and tourists travelling from afar can keep up with their social media. Right, now we get to the real reason why they built that. So Insta people can go and do a selfie up at Mount Everest and go, look at me with my pumped up lips. And bikini shot on the top of Mount Everest. Someone's going to die doing that, aren't they? You can just about guarantee it. But not everyone believes China's intentions behind this huge investment stop there. Of course, because it's China, we have to think, there's got to be an ulterior motive there. Given China's politics in the Himalayas, there are reasons to be suspicious of 5G on the top of the world. Of course, they've taken over Tibet. I don't want to get involved in all of that stuff. I'm just amazed that That's what we're doing now, I guess.
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
About time we went to the good old US of A and found out what's going on over there. It's not all doom and gloom and coronavirus over there. There's plenty of other doom and gloom going on, thank goodness, and we can check it out. A woman allegedly battered her father and attempted to grab his genitalia during an argument over him not sharing his medical marijuana with her. Cops allege that Dakota Di Rienzo tangled with her father Luigi inside his residence at the Pelican Way Mobile Home Park in Sebastian, Vero Beach, another one in Florida. As detailed in an arrest affidavit, the younger Di Rienzo reportedly told police that she and her father were involved in an argument due to him sharing his medical marijuana with his friends but not her. Well, do you share your medical marijuana with your kids? I don't know. That's not something I hope we ever have to deal with. During the confrontation, Di Rienzo allegedly pulled her father to the ground, tearing his shirt. Luigi's girlfriend, who was there at the time, I'm assuming she'd partaken with him, told cops that Dakota attacked Luigi by pulling him down to the ground and attempting to grab his genitals. The 4'11" Dakota who suffered scratch marks on her back during the incident was arrested. They arrested the 4'11" girl? She was released. She packs. She's small, but she's strong. She was released from the county jail on a $1,000 bond, and she's scheduled for arraignment on August the 18th. I can't wait to see the follow-up story on that one, and has been ordered by a judge to have no contact with her father. The 4'11" dynamo. Give me some of that dope! Well, Mary pulls away the father following the Sunday morning service. She's in tears. The priest is worried, and he says, "What could possibly be bothering you, Mary, my dear?" She said, "Oh, Father, I've terrible news. My husband passed away last night." The father says, "Oh, sweet Jesus, that's terrible. Tell me, Mary, did he have any last requests?" "He did, Father," she said. "That he did. He screamed, 'Please, Mary, put the damn gun down.'"